today.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. So I'm Al Cortland, and I really appreciate you joining me. We have a really good show this week in the sense that we're going to focus for the entire 2 hours on what's going on in the resource market, both in terms of the commodities and in terms of the securities. We're going to deal in the first hour primarily with the securities sector with two guys who, you know, I have to tell you, it doesn't get any better than this. I've got Rick Rule. And I've got John Embry. If you can't learn something from these two guys, you're brain dead, let me tell you. Gentlemen, thanks for taking some time. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, sir.
A pleasure.
Rick, let's start out with you, okay? Number one, you know, when you and I were talking off the air, you were saying, I love this market because talk about a great time to go bargain hunting. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
Yeah, actually, I've got a very good illustration. I was talking to some of the younger people in Sprott's U.S. operations, which I run, about how much money you can make coming out of a bear market into a bull market.
Yeah.
And my CPA, who works in-house part-time, gave an illustration where he said that my personal, that is Rick Rule's personal, capital gains tax bill in 1996 exceeded my net worth in 1991. Not that my net worth was de minimis in 1991.
It's right.
That if you play the game hard and smart
right.
at the bottom of a bear market, particularly participating in private placements with long warrants where nobody else is competing with you,
right.
the money that you make when you come out of the bad market into a good market is truly astonishing.
You know, I got to tell you, in 1996, 1997, I was scared to death. Kathy and I were down literally to our last two nickels. I had absolutely nothing in terms of receivables. That was back in the days when I was doing regulatory work, SEC registrations, et cetera. Nobody was interested in doing SEC registrations at the time. Funny story, December 26th, your Boxing Day, John, up in Canada, I walked in, no, it's the 27th now that I think about it. But anyway, I walked in the office just to do some cleanup work, and somebody had couriered me a payment in full for an SEC registration, and I haven't looked back since that time. But I agree with you 100%. That's what 2010 was an incredible year for Kathy and I. We made more money in 2010 than we have ever made in a single year. So that's saying something. John, you know, why don't you give us your thoughts on what's going on right now in terms of the security sector of the market, would you?
Well, I totally agree with Rick, but I would go one step further. I mean, in my long career, I'm not sure I've ever seen the securities more underpriced in relation A to the current price, but more importantly, the prices that are coming up. And I think it's a rare opportunity. And basically, those people who have the courage to stand in here now, and a lot of people are bailing, are going to make an awful lot of money.
You know, you guys, I mean, you're in the, you know, you're basically financiers. You do a certain amount of retail business, high-end retail business, et cetera. What percentage of people are getting out of the market right now? That's an interesting question, and it's something I haven't thought about. Rick, what do you think?
Well, I think the structure of the market is changing. You know, 20 years ago, Al, when you were doing regulatory work, the structure of the Vancouver, of the Canadian junior market was more retail. What happened is that the control of the business changed to consolidators, small hedge funds, mutual funds. So the market's become institutionalized.
Yeah.
The high-end retail guys, at least in our experience, are increasing their exposure to the market. But they're not being felt because, in particular, the small hedge funds and the sector mutual funds are getting creamed. There's redemptions happening every day. So maybe the retail investor is moving out of the sector via, you know, redeeming their shares in the mutual fund. But what you feel in the market are money managers that used to manage $1 billion that now manage $150 million.
Right.
They had that $850 million contraction in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, Al, the sell decisions are not made by the portfolio managers, or I guess they are made by the portfolio managers, but he or she doesn't sell what they want to sell. They sell what has a bid. To honor redemptions. What you're really seeing is just seeing leadership change in the market. You're seeing shares, the better shares, go from weak hands, often generalist fund managers, to strong hands like those of us at Sprott. It's a set of circumstances that we are giddy with joy over.
Well, your clients and you guys are going to make a ton of money, you know, because this shoe shall drop. No, this too shall pass. I mean, you know, John, you and I are a couple of old war horses, for lack of better terms. I think we've got probably 10 years. I know we've got about 10 years at least on Rick. But, you know, we've been around a while. And I'll tell you, I started my business in 1982. I incorporated on October 22nd of 1982. Could not have picked a worse time to be an absolute rookie in the penny stock mining industry, for lack of better terms. But I got to tell you, the one thing that I have learned, and I'd like some comments from you on this, is I don't think you can find a better example of capitalism any place in the world than in the Canadian mining sector, both in terms of the securities aspect of it, you know, and in terms of the actual mining itself. Any comments on that?
Well, yeah, I think that's an interesting comment, because it's raw capitalism, and basically the amount of emotion that gets into this is astounding. I think one of the problems today for the generalist, the person who does not understand this subject particularly well, is all he sees is price action. The price action is so awful that he can't hang in there, because he doesn't have the conviction or the history. And so consequently, as Rick correctly points out, the people that are selling their mutual funds and their small hedge funds and that, and forcing the managers to sell, are creating an astounding opportunity for those people who have a good idea what's going on. As I said earlier, I have never seen values like this. And when this turns, and it will turn violently, the amount of money that's going to be made in a short time is going to knock people's eyes out. And I guess that's a real raw form of capitalism.
It's a real raw form of capitalism. You know, the thing that I like about this, our particular industry, and the reason I've been in it for as long as I have, is, you know what? You get to realize the consequences of your own actions, whether it's positive or negative. And I have to tell you, I personally wouldn't live any other way. John, you made an interesting comment that Rick, I'd like to have you maybe elaborate a little bit on, and that is, people are saying that when this thing turns, industry people anyway are saying, when this market turns, it's going to be quick and it's going to be violent. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. It always surprises you, and you never know what the trigger is, but it would appear that what happens is that you just run out of sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And when you run out of sellers, the first part of the move is really quick. You recover 20 or 30% in the better names, simply because the small bids overwhelm the non-existent asks.
Yeah.
And this has been so in the last four recoveries. Then the market goes sideways, because the people who have strengthened the market are usually pathological cheapskates,
mm-hmm.
value hunters like me.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that stuff is up 30%, albeit from stupidly oversold levels,
sure, right.
hurts your feelings. You know, you don't want to be a mooch.
Right, right.
But then what happens is you start to see the effects of both vertical and horizontal mergers, which also happen
mm-hmm.
with buying transitioning from institutional buying to industry buying, which is always a very good sign. But there's always also some type of catalyst. In the 2002 market, the catalyst was certainly skyrocketing commodities prices. In the 92-93 catalyst, it was a series of discoveries, including, of course, the great Voisey's Bay discovery, the diamond discoveries. There's always some sort of catalyst.
There's always a catalyst, Rick. There's always a catalyst, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but we got to take a real quick break here for a commercial. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back with John Embry and Rick Rule.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
On air, online, and on demand. We are the GCN Radio Network.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BLOCKITPOCKET.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing a very, very interesting discussion with John Embry and Rick Rule. Rick, I had to cut you off last time. You were in mid-sentence talking about the violent turns in the market. You're on, my friend.
Well, I was just saying that there has been, in my experience, there's always been a catalyst. And I say that with the possible exception of the sort of 2009 market that we had following the psychotic break of 2008. But the other major market turns have always sort of had some sort of catalyst, either a combination of discoveries like we experienced in 1992, mm-hmm. 1993, or a skyrocketing raw commodity price index that we saw in 2002-2003. I don't know what the catalyst will be this time, but I just, you know, I know that it'll come back from an oversold position. I know that there will be both vertical and horizontal merger activities, and I don't know, but I'm pretty certain that you will also have a discovery cycle, given the money that we have forced into exploration over mm-hmm. the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the catalyst will be, but history teaches us that there will be a catalyst, although the market will move before the catalyst is recognized.
Oh, yeah, I think you're 100% right about that. John, you know, my opinion on that catalyst, I think to me anyway, it seems logical that the thing that's going to turn this market around is an appreciation in the price of the metals themselves. And the reason I think that's going to happen, you know, I'm not a chartist. You guys might be, you know, I'm sure you're better chartist than I am. I'm not even close to being a chartist. But, you know, one thing that I learned in all my years in the business and my education, et cetera, is fundamentals really don't lie. Fundamentals always come true. And, you know, the world is so screwed up economically. It's almost beyond what I would call an easy repair. And I think that as more and more people realize that, you're going to see the price of precious metals skyrocket. And I think that's going to pull up this particular market. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that probably has to be the catalyst. I think people are so discouraged, and a lot of people basically read mainstream comments, which would have you believe that gold and silver prices are fairly vulnerable from these levels, and that's another reason it drives people away from the securities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're probably right on that point, but I'd like to amplify on one thing that Rick said. There's one other potential catalyst, not catalyst, but the reason why this thing could turn violently. And it's my impression that there are larger than normal short positions in a lot of these precious metal stocks. And I mean, this is sort of the hedge fund activity. I mean, it's been sort of a very, you know, widespread practice for these guys to be sort of short metal stocks and either long the metal or long the Dow or what have you. So I think that's another potential catalyst to really drive this thing up quickly when the sentiment change.
You know, when you talk about the short position, I mean, you guys follow an awful lot of companies, and we're going to talk a little bit in the next segment about what your criteria are, because I think that's very, very important for people to realize. But, you know, when you look, you know, Rick, you talk about the absolutely abysmally low prices. I mean, we've got stocks out there that are trading for less than the cash that they have in the bank. I mean, what's going to happen to those companies?
Well, in some cases, of course, with cash boxes, they're falling knives because the management team can waste the money.
Yeah.
You know, faster than you can keep up with them.
Right.
But if you're talking about the response to shorts, Al, you remember 20, 25 years ago, I was involved in some fairly major league stock promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in the world I enjoyed more than having a good short position against me. If you had a, you know, 30, 40 million shares out in the company and you had 4 or 5 million shares short,
mm-hmm.
what that meant is that you'd already placed 4 or 5 million shares. The price it got bought in at was up to a war between me and the guy who was short.
Right.
And to me, that always seemed like a very fair fight. And I'll tell you something. In those days, we managed to deliver some near religious experiences to guys who were short us.
Oh, sure.
And one of the things that, you know, John talks about is that could in fact be if not the catalyst. Eric Sprott points out, and I think John has pointed out too, that as an example in the physicals market, or not the physicals market, but rather the futures market for silver,
mm-hmm.
it is not uncommon to see the silver futures market trade 100 million ounces a day. That is a number that's very interesting, given the fact that there's about 1 billion ounces of new mine and recycled supply of silver available in the year. So the futures market might trade the entire new mine supply of a year in 10 days. And more importantly, with maybe 40 or 50 million ounces available for good delivery for settle in the futures market,
mm-hmm.
these futures traders can trade all of the good delivery silver available by lunch and then do it again in the afternoon.
Yeah.
if there are large short positions in the futures market, we could take that market into a cash market by accident. Literally by accident.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
I mean, I can't imagine the courage it would take to be on the sell side of some of those big trades in the futures markets. Mm-hmm. Never mind in these, in these little equities where I play.
Yeah. Very, very interesting point. I think that's a really valid point. John, I want to talk a little bit about short positions. I want to get over a kind of out of securities just momentarily here, and I want to talk a little bit about physical. You know, you're a real proponent of the, what I would call the Crazy Murphy's theory that, you know, gold and silver are both manipulated. I use the term Crazy Murphy totally affectionately. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I think that he and Chris are very, very bright individuals, and I don't really dispute a lot of what he's saying, but when you talk about short positions, that kind of infers that you're talking about price manipulation, et cetera, et cetera. Let's start with silver. What are your thoughts on that particular market? And I'm not talking the paper market, by the way. John, I'm not talking the paper market. I'm really talking the physical market itself, okay? Not the derivatives.
Well, I mean, all the input we get on the physical silver market is extraordinarily positive. You can see the sale of silver eagles. I mean, they're rising dramatically. We get reports from various markets, London in particular, that, I mean, the silver market is very, very tight. And in that same environment, you've got the price has dropped, what, $5 or $6 an ounce over the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or 2 months.
Okay.
And so consequently, I think that what will eventually take place, and Rick alluded to it, is that the physical market will take over from the futures market.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the simple reason that there won't be enough physical available. So we await that moment. But in the meantime, because of the size of the paper market, you can really move this price around in the short term. I mean, I don't know that I'd want to be long necessarily playing against these guys because it's been a losing battle. But I will say one thing. The open interest on the COMEX recently in silver has been really stout. So somebody's taken the short position and the short guys on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not buckling, even with the price weakness. And I think this might be the final battle. It will be resolved on the upside with the long guys winning for a change.
I think you're 100% right. I would not surprise me a bit if it doesn't turn out that way. Ladies and gentlemen, time for another very, very quick break. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Rick Boole and John Embry.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid gland? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off your teeth both as a vapor and as metal particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 75 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Vietnam includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Get Prepared Expo is coming. Practical advice. Affordable solutions. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Over 175 seminars and exhibits. Water, food, shelter, guns, ammo. Prepare to survive now. Meet GCN's Vincent Finelli. Get Prepared Expo. Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and 7th. Discount $8 passes and $15 weekend passes available now at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract. Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Chatting with Rick Rule and John Embry. You know, John, you gave some very interesting thoughts about the physical silver market here. Rick, I'd like you to weigh in on that one, if you would. You're not quite as convinced as John is, if I'm not mistaken, about the manipulation aspect of silver.
No, growing up around the Vancouver Stock Exchange, I saw a lot of manipulation, a lot of conspiracies.
Yeah.
I never saw one that worked over long periods of time.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it couldn't be happening here. And yeah. I want to point out, as I did to you off the air, that I work at a place called Sprott. He doesn't work at a place called Rule. And the chances that Sprott and Embry are right and that Rule is wrong, probably on the heavy end of the scale.
Well, I don't know. I think I've known you a lot longer than I've known John, but you know what? Anybody who has been as successful for as long as he has, deserves a certain amount of respect, for lack of better terms. I don't know. You know, I have some interesting thoughts about that, and I probably kind of would fall into more of your camp, I think, than Merv's camp. But you know, I think there is some truth to what those guys are saying, for lack of better terms. Let's flip over into gold, and Rick, why don't you start out on that?
One comment.
Ah, sure.
One comment. And I quite honestly, at this point, I don't think it makes any difference whether there was manipulation or not. For the simple reason that the fundamentals are so powerful that gold and silver are going to go. And one of the things that perhaps maybe keeps people away from both of them is the suggestion that they are manipulated. And I've seen so many people say, well, that's the case. They're never going to go because these guys are more powerful than we are. So, but I don't agree with that. I think that gold and silver, the physical demand will eventually overwhelm all supply in both gold and silver.
Yeah, I moderated a panel down in San Francisco. It was a debate between It was Bill Murphy, and who was on the other side of it? The fellow from International Investment Conferences, Jonathan Moore, was on the other side of that particular debate. And my question to them, which I thought was rather interesting, is, yeah, I mean, if in fact the price of gold is manipulated, if it's held down, why the hell would anybody want to invest in it? And which is, you know, a point you just brought up. And, you know, and Murph said, well, because it's going to explode any day now. And, yeah, I suppose that's true. But I would point to the fact that I remember when I switched the focus of our radio show into hard assets back in 2002, if I'm not mistaken, gold was trading at $254 an ounce. We haven't done bad since then, gentlemen, have we?
Very good point. Not at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a good point. But, what, Rick, in terms of the GATA theory that the price of gold is beaten down every day, et cetera, et cetera, I'd like to get your opinion on that.
I'm probably less well-versed on that. As you point out, if it is beaten down every day, given a move from the early part of the last decade at $250 an ounce to $1,600 an ounce,
yeah.
They've obviously missed a couple days.
More than a couple, yeah.
You know, it's done fairly well. And I would agree, actually, with John's statement that irrespective of what may or may not be happening behind the scenes, the market is ultimately bigger than any group of manipulators or conspirators. And the fact that physical comes out of the market and gets hoarded by strong individuals and some central banks on a daily basis suggests that it's a matter of time. The fact that many investors, both institutional and retail, don't in their own minds have enough time themselves is irrelevant. You know, the market doesn't care really what you want or what you need psychologically. It unfolds in its own manner. And I would encourage people, you know, Al, you were, we were together, I guess is the right thing to say, at the Cambridge conference in Palm Springs when that question came up. Somebody asked me on my panel, when is gold going to move? And I did what you just did. I said, well, I think it's going to move in July 2000 when it was $252. In the last 13 years, it's gone from $252 to $1,600. In other words, it's up sixfold. What part of that move aren't I happy about?
Right.
If it gave me that same move over the next decade, how would I feel about that?
Right.
And my answer is pretty good. The fact that somebody wants something to happen next week or next month is interesting, but it's not of consequence.
You know, it really isn't. There's no question about it. It really is not of any consequence whatsoever. I think the thing that is of consequence, though, is the barometer, for lack of better terms, that the precious metals really very accurately, in my opinion, provide on what's going on around the world economically. You know, and I'm going to throw out a wild card here, you know, and either one of you can. Well, John, why don't you take this one? But, you know, we had a rather interesting situation in Cyprus, albeit that particular economy is minuscule, okay? I would guess to say, well, I was going to say something that along the lines of, you know, the net worth of Sprott is probably greater than Cyprus, for lack of better terms. But having said that, it was pretty scary.
Except for the Russian money.
Except for the Russian money. But, you know, the thing that's interesting is that I was amazed that we didn't see a 50-60 point increase in the price of gold and a similar percentage-wise increase in the price of silver when that happened. But it very, you know, history has shown us the last few days it did not happen. Any comments as to why?
Well, I mean, this gets back into whether you believe in manipulation or not. I think a lot of the price action, they're forced to retreat, and that's why we've had such a wonderful move over time.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the counterintuitive price action that occurs so often, most people ignore the fact that we've had a sixfold move in gold, and they focus on the short-term adverse price reactions that don't make any sense. So I think that there's good reason for the powers to be to follow this type of, process. And let's face it, I mean, basically, gold and silver are mortal enemies of fiat paper currency, which, in my opinion, is in a terminal state. And so these guys will fight to the last, minute to sort of try to prevent the obvious. They will lose, but in the meantime, we sort of go through this somewhat counterintuitive price action, which, if you don't understand what's going on, discourages the hell out of you.
You know, it does. And what I find to be amazing, and Rick, I'd kind of like you to weigh in on this one. You know, you talk about fiat currency, i.e. currency that has absolutely no basis in anything other than smoke and mirrors, for lack of better terms, psychology. Okay. I'm amazed that the U.S. went off the gold standard. Obviously, they were forced to go off the gold standard back in the 70s under Nixon. But I am amazed that no asset-based currency of any consequence exists in the world today. You got any comments on that? I mean, it's very, very nonsensical to me, Rick.
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, Al.
Okay.
If you could imagine yourself as a politician,
okay,
exposing your family to all the aggravation that comes with being a politician,
yeah,
the only reason that you would do that is because you were an absolutely pathological aggregator of power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a pathological aggregator of power, anything that diminishes your power to, say, counterfeit or spend is something that's absolutely unacceptable. And what gold does is it holds the political class and the voting classes accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing in the world that they want. I'm astonished that in a political world that there was ever a gold-backed currency. I mean, remember that Ambrose Bierce describes elections as advanced auctions of stolen property. And he also describes politics by saying that you understand the word by looking at its roots. Poly, for many,
mm-hmm.
and tick, from the English colloquial for small blood-sucking insect.
Right.
If you understand the origin, the nature of politics, you understand that politicians couldn't stand to be constrained by something like honesty involving something so, you know, as important as the medium of exchange. So I'm astonished that there was ever a currency that was backed, ever.
You know, I got to tell you, the United States grew and prospered exponentially under an asset-based currency. Unfortunately, the world today, in my humble opinion, has gotten to the point where it cannot, economically, it could not exist. And I would say if it can't exist economically, I would take it one step farther, and I would say socially, I think you'd have absolute chaos if we went back to an asset-based currency. And I for that reason, I would have to say that I hope something else works out. Going to be right back to wrap this up.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
March into big spring preparedness savings this month at BePrepared.com. Through today only, emergency essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries, or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored Hydro-Pack Combo Water Filtering Pouches in March by 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off, only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar-powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP. And we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends today at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Okay, here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the Cornell Economic Support. They haven't left me yet. They haven't deserted me. Two of the people who I respect as much as anybody in our industry, and that would be John Embry and certainly Rick Rule. Let's get back to our roots just for a second, gentlemen. I am curious. Something that we've never talked about is how you guys got started in this business. Now, Rick, you are an American. You were born and raised in California, if I'm not mistaken. But you went to the University of British Columbia because you wanted, as I recall, to major in some facet of study that would allow you to grow and prosper, for lack of better terms, in the resource industry. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. They had a commerce degree at the University of British Columbia that involved natural resource finance, which was certainly critical in my decision making at the time.
And then I'm assuming that after graduating from UBC, you probably hung around Vancouver for a while and learned the business. Am I correct?
Well, I need to correct you again in terms of graduating from the University of British Columbia. I came to the point where I didn't want my university career to interrupt my education. I had gone into business while I was in university to pay my way through university, and I came to a situation where I was making about three times what my professors were making.
There you go.
And given that as a young man I wasn't particularly interested in academics,
right.
I was there to learn how to make money.
Right.
When I figured out the disparity in pay between me and people 30 years my senior,
right.
I said, maybe I know enough. That probably wasn't true, but given my value system at the time, I was out of there. And I did stay around Vancouver, as you suggest, for, 6 or 7 years post my university experience.
It's an interesting industry, it's a fascinating industry. I was a late starter, for lack of better terms. I went to work for a consultant when I was probably, I was 36 at the time. Hung out with that firm, working with, some of the rounders. Murray Pezum was one of the first people I ever met. Interestingly enough, this was back in the late 70s, early 80s. But, I look back and I could not find a better place to have spent the majority of my career. John, how about you? How'd you get started this business?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that as of June the 3rd this year, I've been in it 50 years. And I got in right out of college because I was interested in finance. And believe it or not, in those days, nobody else was. I was the only person that applied to an insurance company to work in their investment division.
Your kid, is that right?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it turned out all the other guys wanted to go into marketing, this, that, and the other thing, and I probably made more money than all of them put together in my class.
Yeah. Interesting.
Nobody appreciated what was going to happen in the investing business.
Yeah. What do you guys think the opportunity exists for investors? And I'm going to use a horizon of for the next 5 years. What do you guys think? Don't all talk at once, Rick.
Well, I mean, if you want some dramatic numbers, mm-hmm. you can look at either the Sprott audited numbers or the audited numbers from my Exploration Capital Partnership series mm-hmm. in the period sort of 2000 to 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And they're such gory numbers, I mean, in a positive sense, that they're inflammatory in terms of putting them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sprott earned, I think it was 2009 or 2010, we earned more in performance fees than we had in shareholders' equity.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we just got a small piece of the performance relative to what our investors got.
Yeah.
What people need to know is that, you know, that blessed time, if you will, could come this year or next year or maybe the year after. Nobody can tell you when it's going to occur.
Right.
But we can certainly tell you that it is going to occur.
Oh, sure. Sure. I would agree with that. John, what has 50 years taught you to relay to investors? In terms of,
well, I say, it's easy to say, tougher to do. You got to take the emotion out of things to
yes.
some extent. I mean, basically, if you can look at something in a cold eye fashion and really understand the fundamentals, and basically hold your positions when other people are doing really stupid things, I think in the end you're going to end up in a really good situation. And I would dare say that right now, and it might not happen immediately, but right now is probably a good an opportunity to buy into the metal sector, both the commodities, or the precious metal sector, both the commodities and the shares
mm-hmm.
that I have ever seen in my career. I mean, this is a strong statement. I think gold is more interesting today at 1600 than it was at 252. I think you'll get a faster return and a bigger return than you did off the bottom. And that will come as a great shock to most people who never saw it coming in the first place.
Yeah.
And even more shock when the next move happens.
You agree with that, Rick?
I do. I'm not sure it's better now than it was at 252 because I'm a pathological cheapskate.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly think that the set of circumstances that are associated with a gold move are longer in the tooth, or put a different way. I think the gold market is substantially more pregnant now than it was then. Then it was merely oversold. But the whole set of circumstances with regards to the debasement of fiat currencies and the whole notion that gold has to move as a consequence of the unsustainable nature of government and social promises is certainly, you know, 12 or 13 years farther along. And I think we are towards the end of the rope that we have available to us as communities. And, you know,
Rick, what do you mean by that? That's an interesting statement.
Well, as an example, all the kerfuffle about the tax on deposits in Cyprus. Deposit insurance, the idea that you don't need to pay attention to the risk in a bank when you put your money in. This is a set of circumstances that's 70 years old. It's a social promise. Deposit insurance is a social promise. The same way that welfare is a social promise, the same way that Medicare is a social promise, the same way that Social Security is a social promise. In the West, we've lived beyond our means for about 25 years.
Or longer.
And
yeah.
we've made all kinds of promises, and the truth is that we can't afford them. What happened in Cyprus is just one example of a social promise that could not be kept because the promise was unsustainable. The idea that the great nanny, that government should look after us in our old age if we become obese or drug addicted,
mm-hmm.
or should provide a stipend for us in our old age because we forgot to save, or that the government should obviate us from looking at the balance sheet and the income statement from people that we trust with our cash, is facetious on the face of it.
Oh,
we come to believe that that's some kind of sovereign right, which is absolutely idiotic.
Rick, that's not, in my opinion, that, you know, I very, very seldom would correct you, but I have to tell you, I don't think facetious is a strong enough word. I find it to be absolutely amazing that our society has gotten to the point where people really believe they deserve something for nothing. To me, that is absolutely amazing. You know, and we've kind of gone full circle here in the sense that in the initial segment, you know, I mentioned that the thing that I just love about this industry more than anything, I'm passionate about this industry because you're going to reap what you sow, for lack of better terms. In society today, and I don't mean to get philosophical here, but in society today, the majority of people, certainly in the United States, John, don't reap what they sow. I mean, you've got ghettos, major ghettos in our country, comprised of people who are there simply because somebody else is feeding them. Somebody else is providing them shelter. And you know what? That is not, in my opinion, what human beings were created for. I just firmly don't believe that. You know, and that philosophy is why I love our business as much as I do. It is just, you know, if you work hard, if you're sensible, you're probably going to reap the rewards because, you know what? Ours is a very, very logical business once you understand that. John, final words. Where do you see the sector going in the next, as I said, 5 years? Where do you see it going in the next 3 to 5 years?
I can easily say 3 to 5 years. I mean, if you ask me what it's going to do in the next 6 months, I'd say I don't know.
Right.
But in 3 to 5 years, we are going to see the fundamentals assert themselves. And in that instance, I think the returns that are going to be available to those who, you know, have taken the time to pay attention and invest at the correct juncture, which I think is right now, they're going to make money that is going to be staggering. And I would go so far as to say that a lot of people who are invested in more conventional assets like bonds and bank deposits, et cetera, are going to get a real comeuppance with respect to their purchasing power and net worth.
I would agree 100% on that. Rick, I'm going to give you the final word. You got 30 seconds. Agree or disagree with John?
No, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. The fact is that bear markets beget bull markets. Bull markets beget bear markets. We're in a wonderful bear market where stuff is oversold. Because it's cheap, it's going to get more expensive.
I have to agree 1,000%. You guys, I want to thank you very much. It's been a real honor to have you on the program. I know that our listeners have appreciated being able to spend this much time with you. You're a couple of really busy guys, and I think it's a real credit to both of your characters that you are willing to take some time and educate people. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be back with Jeff Deist for the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com. Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.